This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America tonight. Happy holidays, everybody. I hope you are spending it with your family or just chillaxing, sitting by a fire, maybe somewhere drinking. I'm going to drink some of my, actually, it's just coffee. I was going to say eggnog. You know what? This is interesting. I had a big debate, and it even went over onto Facebook about fruitcake. I know some of you like fruitcake. I just don't like fruitcake. And somebody called me from Memphis and said, if you warm it up, it tastes so much better. Just warm up the fruitcake, and you'll see why we like fruitcake. Some of it has nuts in it. Some of it has, of course, it has fruit, dried fruit, different kind of fruit. And I don't know, maybe I will give fruitcake another chance for all of you that were concerned that I was just writing off the fruitcake too soon. What I like about the holidays is I haven't seen my family. I haven't seen my brother. And some of you can also relate to this, right? I haven't seen my brother, my sister-in-law, a really super close aunt. I haven't seen the three of them, and they live in Florida. I haven't seen them in a year. So I'm excited to actually go and get to spend some time with them. And throughout the next couple of days, we'll be giving you the best of America tonight. I said this in the previous hour, but I've interviewed over 12,000 people. So many of them have been here on ATN, and thank you for your support of this show. I call it the little show that can and will, and we're doing it, and we're going to keep doing it, and I'm excited about so many of those conversations that we had. And you know what? So many of those conversations, of course, centered around politics. And we know that Mexico was one of the major themes in Donald Trump's run to getting the nomination for the Republicans and ultimately winning the presidency. The whole thing about the wall and immigration, and then there's concerns about trade with Mexico. So check this out. This is one thing I have to say. There's no doubt Trump just will reach out to whoever. Right. So you see the parade of people that have come up to his place in New York. And now how about this? The president-elect eating dinner with Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, which is his estate, over the weekend for what he talked about was a lovely dinner with a wonderful man. The meeting for some, when I say that, Carlos Slim, who was at one point the richest man in the world, the fact that he's doing that after all the jabbing over Mexico over the course of the campaign is just shows you. And, you know, if you go back and you look at his tweets where he says the Mexican legal system is corrupt, as is much of Mexico, pay me the money that is owed me now, stop sending criminals over our border. And then the border is wide open for cartels and terrorists. Secure our border now, build a massive wall, and deduct the costs from Mexican foreign aid, and so on and, you know, so forth. Slim's fortune was hit hard by Trump's election, his net worth sinking by nearly $5 billion in just 4 days after the election. Trump also claimed, by the way, that he was working with the Times to help the Clinton campaign smear him. So, you know, his thought was obviously he's pushing against him and he has a voice in Mexico, and here they are dining. So, you know, you got to give him credit for the people that he reaches out to and what he's able to make happen. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Okay, here's another kind of curveball to Trump. This whole thing of Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State, and there's critical mass against it, and there's critical for it, so that's not a surprise, right, because he's the CEO of Exxon. But here we are in the holiday season, and there's much discussion about this, because coming up on January 20th, we have the inauguration, and there is the cabinet forming, as we've been talking about that a lot on America Tonight. So the former president, George W. Bush, praised Trump's Secretary of State nominee, Rex Tillerson, and offered support for the ExxonMobil CEO. Here's the deal. He said that Tillerson is a smart guy. And, you know, you have Senator Bob Corker, which that's laser flat, but he said he had a good conversation with the Secretary of State nominee. And he said he's looking forward to meeting with him. And he got a call from George W. Bush, who spoke highly of Tillerson and offered support for his nomination. And one thing that Corker said in a conversation he had with Hugh Hewitt is that Bush never called him before to discuss a cabinet nominee. Never, never, never. And he was just over the top with his praise. He said he's talked to him about other things, but never a nominee. So Corker said, I think he's going to get Republican support. He's going to get a lot of it, but I think he's going to get a lot of Democratic support. Because, you know, here's the deal. A lot of people are criticizing Tillerson, and I was concerned about this, about his ties to the Russian president, Vladimir Putin. But I think it's good to have people lobbying for him. If he's my nominee, it's good to have people lobbying for him that know him, that have dealt with him. And you know, there is and should be some concern about it. Because, again, you think of the ties to oil, but how well do you know him? So that's why you have the nomination process, to poke holes in what's happening, right? Absolutely. All right, 'tis the season for football, and I want to tell everybody that Nail the Score will be back on Thursday the 29th. Got to make sure I have my days right. I'm brutal on the days. Thursday the 29th. For another edition of Nail the Score. And while, and we're going to do a double dip because we owe you one from last week. Sorry about that. My mother-in-law got sick. And luckily she's fine. But, you know, that led to the fact that we missed Nail the Score for you. And I know I want to make sure you get Nail the Score. So anyway, Nail the Score. We're going to have a double dip on Nail the Score, which is really cool. So that'll give you two different games that you can nail. And that'll be on the 29th. The 29th of January. I can't say that enough because I know you'll be looking for that. And I'll post it also on the America Tonight website, americatonight.net. americatonight.net. How's that? You know, it's funny, in talking about football, there's so much conversation about the national championship and who can beat Alabama. And the answer is, who can beat Alabama? You've got a couple of teams if they make it in. What's going to happen in the other semifinal matchup, which is Clemson and Ohio State? What's going to happen in Alabama's meeting with Washington? You know, on any given day, anything can turn in a different direction. But I was looking back at what were the 9 football teams that could beat Alabama even during the regular season. And, of course, Alabama was perfect. They had some close games, but Arkansas was listed, and that didn't happen. Clemson was listed. Michigan was listed. And Tennessee was listed. And Washington was listed. And in Washington, they talked about that Chris Peterson, who is the coach of Washington and is in the front seat and knows what he's doing. What they talked about was, you know, Washington has forced lots of turnovers, and they're number one in turnover margin. And in just 5 games, they forced 15 turnovers. So if they're able to do that, could they beat Alabama? And you know what the answer is? Yes, they can. It's Alabama and Washington in the one semifinal game on New Year's Eve. And of course, the other one is Clemson and Ohio State. So we'll see. Question mark, question mark. All right, hang with us. The best of some of the great conversations we had during the year coming up around the bend on America Tonight.
Check it out.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it.
You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention heartburn drug users. If you or a loved one has taken Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, and suffered serious kidney damage, chronic kidney disease, or kidney failure, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Studies from the JAMA Internal Medicine indicate a significant increased risk of acute and chronic kidney disease from taking proton pump inhibitors. If you or a loved one was diagnosed with kidney failure or chronic kidney disease after taking Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-225-8944. That's 800-225-8944. Again, 800-225-8944. Call now.
Non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This time around on Out of the Park, pleased to bring you, he's in our virtual green room right now, Greg Stevin. He's one of the editors of Men's Health Magazine, and he's published 16 books in various forms. So, 17. Oh, my gosh. So when you talk about...
I was publishing one while you were speaking. You didn't even know about it.
Oh. So when you talk about having knowledge of the business, this guy definitely has it. Greg, first of all, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it. And I think this is pretty relevant. When you look at being topical and jumping on ideas that could be relevant to people and certainly things that would be sellable, one of them is we just went through months ago and, you know, a presidential election, and you had an idea about a book that would be related to Trump. Tell us about the book, the idea, and then what happened.
Sure. And it's really a fascinating case study for the larger discussion that I think is worth having here. And let me start with my sort of thesis for that. And that is, as a guy who has published a lot of books, one of the things I've learned the hard way, and I'd like to save your listeners from learning the same lesson the hard way, is that for most of us, there's no reason going through the effort of writing and then publishing a book if there's not a business model behind it to support the book. So I can tell you from experience that how most authors have a book go from idea to publication is they have the idea, they write it or get a publishing contract and then write it, or decide they're going to self-publish and then write it. And once they finish the book, then they say to themselves, now what do I do? and it's the wrong order. It's a crazy, and it's a mistake I've made myself. What you really should do is have an idea, create a business model around it, so you know exactly what you're going to do once those books arrive, either online in a digital form or a print-on-demand form or even in boxes that end up in your garage. You know exactly what you're going to do to market them to your intended audience. And that business plan, believe it or not, is the part that people sometimes never figure out, because I have lots of author friends who have written books and never had a clue about the business part. Still, and you don't want your listeners to make that same mistake.
So let's take me through the process. How, if they're listening, paying attention, and remember too, with speakers, sometimes in their minds they say, well, I have a passion about XYZ, and I can sell that when I'm out there speaking, so I'm not as concerned about trying to make this, put this available, make this out there for the bigger audience, except for that, I think you want to reach that bigger audience, even if you are mostly selling from what we call the back of the room.
Maybe you do and maybe you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the business model comes in. You want to, you know, first of all, there's something I used to call the Oprah illusion. Now, Oprah's no longer on TV, but the rule applies. Every author, while Oprah was on TV, had the dream of getting on Oprah. But I can't tell you how many authors I know who got on Oprah, saw a little spike in sales that day, and then never again. The point here is there is no magic bullet for making a book a big seller or a bestseller. There is no magic. You might get lucky, and it might go viral, or something might happen, and I can share my own experience with that, because I got lucky once. But thinking there's you're going to do this one thing, and it's somehow going to magically transform you into a best-selling author, it may happen. I wouldn't plan on it. I would make a real business plan with real strategic ideas behind it and the money that it's going to take and the effort that it's going to take. Otherwise, as I jokingly have been known to say, when you particularly self-publish a book, what you end up with, if you're not smart about it, is a garage full of books.
Yeah.
So the point here for speakers in particular is maybe selling books from the back of the room is enough. And if you actually, you know, build an audience beyond the people you're touching in a room, good for you. But don't count on that unless you have a really rock-solid plan to achieve it and make sure the effort and the money that's going to go into writing and publishing that book and sales only from the back of the room is going to justify it. And some speakers may even say, I think just writing the book and having it available to send out to bookers, that's enough of a business plan for me to justify doing it. And I would agree. If you've made that calculation and it gets you more bookings and your book never, if only 10 people in the world ever see your book and it gets you 10 more of the bookings that you want and you know what you're going to be paid to do them, then it was well worth it if you did the math to prove it.
Yeah, so there you go. When you said you got lucky, tell us about that story.
Well, back in the 90s, I went to see the movie The American President with Michael Douglas and Annette Bening, and I walked out of the theater thinking, huh, I don't know that much about presidents. I mean, you know, my American history knowledge is weak. Maybe there really had been a president whose wife died, was a widower in the White House, and had a daughter, and then he was dating while president. I went home that night. I went online. I did a little research on the history of presidents. I got kind of interested, and literally that night wrote a book proposal and sold it the next day.
Wow.
So that book, the third edition, which just came out, is called White House Confidential. That book, the day the publisher, this was a long time ago, so the day the publisher was sent the book to the printer was the day the Monica Lewinsky story broke. I asked the publisher to let me add one sentence about Monica Lewinsky. Remember, we didn't know there was going to be an impeachment. We didn't know what was coming.
Right.
Added one sentence about her, and literally the day the book came out was the day Ken Starr sent the report to Congress in the banker boxes in the white Suburban. And if you're too young, you may not remember this, but if you're old enough to remember this, you'll realize that this was one of the biggest news stories of the 20th century. Or the late 20th century. So I was in the right place at the right time, and I used that to get myself on CNN and Entertainment Tonight and radio, hundreds and hundreds of radio interviews and the LA Times, and, you know, I got lucky.
But
you can't bank luck. You can do everything you can to make it, and that's why I go back to what I said earlier. You better have a business plan, and the truth is, for that book, I did not have a business plan. I got lucky. But I learned with that book that for every book since, if I can't make a good business case for writing and publishing the book, I don't write and publish the book. And in fact, just this week, I backed out of a book deal because I realized I couldn't make a business case for it.
Wow, so you knew, because, hey, there's no way to make money on this. There's no way to get heard, because whether it's getting bookings or whatever it is, you knew that wasn't going to happen, right?
Right, and I mean, you know, just to fine-tune what you just said, again, your goal may not be to have millions of people read your book. Your goal may not even be to make money from your book. You may have some other goal, and that's why there's lots of publishers that offer services to people like speakers and business executives to publish a book to use as a calling card. That's a very powerful way to use the medium of a book that's not directly going to make you money, but it may be the difference between you getting the meeting or not getting the meeting, or getting the booking or not getting the booking. But again, that should be calculated into your business plan. If you can look and say, I think writing and publishing a book will get me 10 times or 10 will get me, if I think writing a book will get me 20% more bookings, that doesn't even take into account what you're selling from the back of the room. 20% more bookings equals X dollars, and wow, that's really worth it. I'm going to go for it. If you're just writing a book to write a book, then it's not a, then you don't have a business model. You have a hobby.
Yeah, there you go. You have a hobby. Some things to think about, that's for sure. Greg Stebbins, thanks so much for joining us on Out of the Park.
It's great to be here.
Wow, so you can see by what Greg said, pretty interesting, not so easy when you peel back the onion on what it's like to get a book published and what it takes, and the fact that, as we say so often, that it is about the business. So is it business or not? And people have spent lots of money coming up with ways to publish their memoirs and thoughts on whatever it might be. And sure enough, they find themselves in that position where they've got, as he said, a garage full of books, and they're out sometimes upwards of $25,000, because they have this idea, if they come up with this great book, it's going to fly off the shelves virtually. And how great would that be? And it will definitely direct people toward their business. But he's right, it's the opposite. It's about the business and coming up with a blueprint for that first. So stay with us. Much more coming your way next on America Tonight.
We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the long list? You know, the fun.
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Once again, is in our virtual green room. He's an attorney. We've had him on before. Terrific when we've talked about, you know, some big, bad current legal issues or what's led, to cases that are intriguing, like this Hall of Fame game. You know, it was just a handful of weeks ago I was talking about the excitement of, wow, this signifies the NFL is back. It's a preseason game. But who does want to see Green Bay take on the Colts? And now you got these Hall of Fame game ticket holders who are accusing the NFL of a breach of contract. And, you know, have they done that? How do you prove that in court? And boy, this is going to be pretty darn interesting to watch this happen, because these ticket holders are suing the National Football League, saying that it's a breach of contract by canceling that game with the big screw up as to what happened there, the painting on the, the painting on the field, which led to all the problems of the gunkiness on the field and the players saying that they couldn't play. But regardless, there was no game. So who's at fault? Waleed, thanks so much for bouncing back on with us. We appreciate it.
Kate, thank you so much for having me. And you know, I think you pointed out and you kind of really established what this lawsuit is all about. So the Hall of Fame game is kind of a big deal every year because it marks a couple of things, right, for the NFL. It marks, number one, the NFL, you know, it's the day after the NFL Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. And then following that, you've got this, you kind of kick off the football season. The Hall of Fame game is the first exhibition generally every year. And this year you had some pretty good teams. I mean, the Green Bay Packers and the Colts. And, you know, the stadium seats about 23,000 people, I think. So it's about 23,000 people. So, you know, you had people, and it's different for the reasons you talked about. It's different than any other game because, you know, people come from all over the country to come and see this Hall of Fame game. So the lawsuits, this is what the lawsuit really contends. You've got people from all over the country that came, you know, that went to Canton, Ohio, specifically to watch this game. And the game was supposed to kick off at 8 p.m. And as late as, you know, 6:30 p.m., all these fans were entering into the stadium. They were going to the concessions. They were buying their food, their souvenirs, you know, things that you'd normally buy when you attend the football game. And shortly before kickoff, the PA announcer canceled the game. So those are the lawsuit contentions. So what are the fans asking for? You know, obviously this is a class action lawsuit, and the fans are saying, look, there was an offer letter, and this is meaningful, there was an offer letter, Kate, that was sent by the attorney for the class, for in other words, an attorney for the fans, and he gave an offer to the NFL that's due apparently at the end of the day tomorrow. Okay. And what does the offer letter say? The offer letter says, look, if you take the average of the 23,000 tickets that were sold, we're you know, the out-of-pocket expenses, meaning the airfare, the ground transportation, the gas, all of that stuff is going to be about $700 per person. We're willing to settle this case for $450. We're going to give you a discount, the letter says, if you settle this case for $450 per ticket holder, which is still about, you know, more than $10 million, if the NFL agrees to terms by end of day tomorrow. So we have a little bit, Kate, of a wait and see of what happens end of day tomorrow.
Yeah, what does your gut tell you on this?
You know, it's interesting. It's the NFL has, first of all, and this is important. The NFL, the first thing the NFL did is they said, listen, we're going to make sure we refund all of the ticket prices. So from the NFL standpoint, they're going to refund all the ticket prices for all the 23,000 ticket holders. So the remaining portions of this lawsuit don't have to do, Kate, they don't have to do with the actual ticket price. What they have to do with is the incidentals we just talked about, the travel, the you know, the gas, the mileage, this type of stuff. And whether the NFL decides to settle, I think, you know, I think it's going to be a business decision. If they end up settling now, which could be a reasonable thing to do, the NFL would probably question, does this open the doors to additional litigation, right, if something like this were to happen in the future? It's going to be a business decision. It's going to be something decided between, you know, on a business basis by the NFL. Hard to tell, but I'll tell you, because we've got a deadline of tomorrow, we're gonna know sooner than later, right, whether this lawsuit is going to progress.
Yeah, and you know what? And you said it too, like I mentioned in the beginning, there's so much emotion with this, and people do come from all over, and it's that rare moment because it's tough to get those tickets to the Hall of Fame game, frankly, because you've got the day before football players who were inducted into the Hall of Fame, and a lot of people come from those particular teams to cheer on their favorite person that's getting inducted, and it really is a tough ticket to get. So there's people that spent some money to get there, and that I think that plays into this.
Kate, you make some very important points because you add two additional points. Okay, the additional point number one is people, when they go to the Hall of Fame game, is they make a weekend of it, right? They're generally, they want to have access to the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, and then they want to watch the football game. So it's not simply, you know, you take your car or you take, you know, the train to your local stadium. People make a weekend of this. That's what the lawsuit lawsuit generally insinuates to. The second thing is, and you know, by contrast, where local stadiums, other, you know, other major NFL stadiums in major cities have much larger capacities, and I think this is the second point that you alluded to. In this game, you have, you know, you're talking about 23,000 ticket holders, right? You're not talking about 80,000, 90,000 fans. So it's a little bit of a different story, as you indicate.
Yeah. All right. Well, Elias, as I said before, always fun to have you on the show. Thank you so much for throwing in your two cents on this pretty interesting issue.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you, Kate. Have a great day.
So as I mentioned, the key thing in this lawsuit is, and what Waleed talked about, is the emotion, I think, connected to it. Now, you could say, well, that's not the law, it's the letter of the law, and it is. But when you start to throw in the NFL, you start to throw in tickets where they came from, mix it all up, it's a little bit stronger for the group that is filing the lawsuit. I mean, I'm sure they were raging, maniacs as far as being disappointed when that happened, because it was a stupid mistake. Let's face it. Oh, we're painting the field. Really? I'm sorry, this paint isn't drying and it's ruining the field. I mean, that was really, again, something that just shouldn't have gotten by, but it did. So it happened, and they canceled the game. They weren't going to put the players out there, and there were a lot of people that were furious over that, including the owners of both of those football teams. So in looking at, you know, this class action suit, it's filed against the NFL and the National Football Museum, by the way, so the league and the museum. And it's doing business at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, so to be technical about it, alleging they breached their obligations by canceling the game due to factors under the defendant's control. See, and that's the key. That goes to that whole painting thing. So alleging the breach of contract, canceling, because we're not saying it's lightning that you cannot withstand, it's not some unforeseen deal, it's something that could have happened. You have people that took vacations, they were staying in hotels, the kind of cost associated with this in some cases, in some of, I'm sure, these plaintiffs' cases, was pretty high. And here's the other thing, they're also saying that the scoreboard, so people were going there, and it was kicking down, you know, ticking down, tick, 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 for that 8 o'clock kickoff. So the NFL and the Pro Football Hall of Fame were encouraging fans to continue to buy food and to buy drinks and souvenirs. And they didn't tell them about the possibility of this cancellation of the game. So that would really, that's like rubbing your nose in it, isn't it? You're sitting there in the stands, woohoo! Well, there's something going on in the field, but it's going to be okay. Let's get another hot dog. We'll have another beer. And you're spending money. Then you're like so excited, you're into it. Oh, let's get a t-shirt. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's get one of those expensive t-shirts. So there may be something here. And this, of course, like I mentioned, comes out of Ohio. We'll be keeping a close eye on that, because these class action suits, to me anyway, are interesting. The plaintiffs want a trial by jury, and they want, you know, economic loss. That's what they're looking for, and court costs and pre- and post-judgment interests and all of that. But I think it's interesting. They really, really want a jury trial, and a jury, you know how that is, jury of your peers, it really could go either way, and I could see the emotion tied to this, like I said, even if they say take the emotion out. All right, boy, that was interesting stuff. We'll be eyeballing it. Stay with us. Coming up next, we're talking to Dr. Joe Alton about the Zika virus and these Louisiana floods, and what's happening, by the way, also with California, because in California you have the raging Southern California, which I thought was nothing because everything was happening in Northern California. You have the fires there. They're having a hard time, they being the thousands of firefighters, it's over 1,600, who are trying desperately to not see this continue to jump over the highway, because it spreads to more subdivisions and more homes, leads to more evacuations, and then frankly even the danger, the health danger even for the firefighters is absolutely frightening. Anyway, Dr. Joe Alton from Florida joins us next here on America Tonight.
Looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
And now, three recent financial memories. Remember the market drops of 02, the financial crisis of 08, the flash crash of 2010. It's not if, but when. What do you have in place to protect your profits? OnTheMarkMoney.com introduces WealthGuard, a complete portfolio monitoring system that sends out direct alerts when your accounts hit a targeted downside value, and it works with all your retirement accounts, even 401k. Learn how to get WealthGuard free. Go to OnTheMarkMoney.com.
My name is Robin. I'm 47 years of age. I absolutely love One World Whey. It was about 5 years ago when a trainer told me it was the end-all of protein powders. One day when I ran out, I decided to try other brands. I spent 8 months and could not find a replacement. I went through tons of brands, types, and flavors, and almost all of them tasted unnatural and not pleasant. When it all boiled down, I came right back to One World Whey. I buy the cost-effective 5-pound container, and my family craves their One World Whey too. I look forward to and enjoy having my One World Whey and feel great after I drink it. Thank you, Synergistic Nutrition, for perfecting a protein powder in the product One World Whey. From taste to how it makes me and my family feel, you get an A++.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G, LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing PIX Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with PIX and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PIXWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick PIX and get connected today.
This time around on Out of the Park, I want to introduce you to Mark Goldman. He's the co-founder and media relations specialist at Goldman McCormick in New York City. He comes from an interesting background, court TV, radio, Sirius satellite radio, a lot of business talk radio, a lot of experience, and boy, has the landscape changed, so I thought it'd be fun to have Mark join us. Mark, first of all, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolute pleasure to be on your program today, Kate. Thank you.
So how tough is it to get heard these days when you think you've got something that you're speaking about that's revolutionary, you've got a great book, whatever the idea is, whatever your platform is, how tough is it to get noticed with the way the media landscape has changed?
fantastic question. You know, it's not hard to get noticed if you have the right kind of topic, if it's relatable into the news, and you have the right PR person.
Yeah, and you think you know, people debate about that, as you know. There's a thought that goes around that, well, you know, you can get publicity on your own. You can call newsrooms, you can hit up newspapers, you can get in touch with bloggers, and you can do that. But what I've found is, honestly, through my own survey that I've done with a lot of my friends, etc., is that there is no definite way to skin the cat, and it's tough to do it on your own.
Absolutely. When you know what? When you hire a public relations firm, you're kind of hiring their relationships, and they build these relationships just like we do. We build these relationships for many, many years, whether it be taking producers out, making friends with them, you know, just spreading the word, networking, doing the right thing, and giving them great guests over the years.
Do you think there's more opportunity now than ever, or less opportunity?
You know what? There's different opportunities now. There's a lot of different opportunities out there now. Yes, some of the media is getting smaller, like printed newspapers, but then other media, like website sort of articles and radio shows and television shows, are picking up. And radio is so important. And majority of public relations companies in America really don't pay attention to radio. However, we do. We come from big radio backgrounds, and it's so important to be on radio. I cannot begin to stress it, but, you know, I should be telling you that, right?
So why is it important to be on radio?
So many people listen to radio. So many people either listen in their car, listen on their smartphones, listen at home. Radio, you know, just so important. I can't stress it enough. There's so many people listening to radio, even though, you know, professionals will tell you, oh, they're listening to Pandora, and they're listening to their MP3s, and they're listening to this, that, and the other. I don't know. I kind of think it's rubbish and it's old school.
All right. So if you're pitching radio, you're pitching any other form of media, what's a quick tip? Is it important? You know, people struggle with what kind of email they should write, and a lot of times it tends to be a very long email. And then the subject line usually I find is very dry from somebody, from my point of view, for people listening, that gets a lot of pitches. What's something you got to look out for?
You got to keep everything, you know, as a former producer and now a publicist and PR guru, you got to keep everything short and simple. You also have to tie it into the news. It's got to be very newsworthy to get somebody's attention in the subject line. As far as what you're sending somebody, keep it super, super short, a quick bio, a few talking points, and why it's so important, and some contact information, and that's it. You know, just keep it simple, keep it short.
What's the biggest mistake people make when they do go after their own PR?
You know, I think you brought it up just a moment ago. People, when they're trying to get on radio, get on TV, get in the newsprint, they send these overwhelming pitches to producers, and then they call 100 times. You never want to upset a producer or upset a host, because it will your relationship will end quickly.
Yeah, and the calling thing probably isn't good at all. I think that most people don't even answer their phones anymore.
Absolutely, absolutely. Email, super, super important. Make sure you don't get on the spam list, because, you know what, if you do your own PR and you send out hundreds and thousands of emails, you're going to get on the spam list, and these people are never even going to get your pitch.
Yeah. So we keep it short, you keep it simple, you don't bug the producer or the radio host or the television host or whatnot.
Absolutely.
Is another mistake, is it not knowing who you're pitching? Because I find that, and maybe some other people can relate to this, that they get pitches from people that don't even know what your show is about or don't even realize what it is that you cover.
That is probably by far the greatest point you brought up during this interview. And I'll give you a great story, a real quick great story with that. Jane Velez Mitchell used to be a nationally syndicated television host on HLN, CNN sister station. It's been known, and also because we know her as well, she's a former alcoholic, she's been in recovery, and for a while she was getting pitches from a PR company, not our company, thankfully, for a brand new beer. You know, so you really have to know your audience, you have to know who your host is, and you have to pitch correctly, because pitching a beer company to a recovering alcoholic will definitely get you on the blacklist.
Yeah, I can understand that. So, okay, so there's more opportunity. You just have to know what you're doing. You have to keep it short. You have to know who it is that you're pitching to. That completely makes sense. What about the kind of stories if it's not doesn't have a news hook and is like you say it has to be connected to what's going on in the news? If you want to get noticed for something that you do yourself, so you want to be like you're a thought leader and somehow you've got to come up with something creative. How do you do that?
You know what? I think you could kind of keep it like as an evergreen or very generic. You could always tie something into a holiday. There's always some kind of awareness month going on, whether it be autism awareness or stress awareness or, hey, Kate Delaney Day. You know, you gotta figure out something. There's always a kind of a spin that you could use. It's spring, it's fall, it's winter. Something is always going on. You could always tie your message in. You just got to be creative and think out of the box.
All right, be creative. And as you know, we can only imagine, there is more opportunities. You got to figure out what those opportunities are. But people, producers and reporters, with the way things have changed, are getting pummeled by all kinds of people, aren't they?
Absolutely. It's crazy. You know what? Just keep your message on point. Hire a good public relations person. Hey, I would love everybody to hire me, but I get it. They want to hire other people, too. So you know what? Do the right thing. Make sure all your ducks are in a row, and you'll be good.
All right. Mark Goldman, thank you so much. You can check him out at goldmanmccormick.com. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. What a pleasure.
All right, so again, I think what Mark said is right on point. As somebody who's a reporter for a living, the things that you have to look for are the hooks and knowing, as we talked about, who you're pitching. So what are you hooking them in with? Are you hooking into a certain day? Obviously, holidays are easy. If it's a special day that's been created, like Grandparents' Day or Mother's Day or Father's Day or whatever it might be, not necessarily even just the traditional holidays, look for those angles. If there's something dramatic that has happened, if there's a recall, a food recall, and you're in the health world, or you've got some other way to connect yourself, do it. That's what you want to do. I say this all the time. People aren't aware of what's happening in the world. You know, you get busy, we get in our bubbles. I get it. I certainly, shockingly, have been there occasionally in my life. But you want to know what the top stories are. You want to know what people are talking about. What's buzzworthy? How are you buzzworthy? That's what I say to people. How are you buzzworthy? And how do you plug into what the narrative is? And this can be, by the way, locally, regionally, nationally. You could be out speaking somewhere and there's something happening right where you're speaking and it ties in nicely to where you happen to be, what you're speaking about. Maybe you invite the media person there if it completely makes sense, because that's the other thing. If you're speaking at a big event, that can be the central point of wherever it is you are. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's just whatever the issue is that's being tackled, or the theme. Theme might be a better way to put it. A lot of conventions have themes, and the themes tie into whatever it is that is, at the moment, the heartbeat of that particular area or nationally, and that's what you want to tie into. Thus, you create this attention for the event where you are, so that's a win-win all the way around. The key is, there's no doubt, the key is what Mark said, is to keep it simple, to make it on point, make sure you know who you are pitching, not to harass them with way too many phone calls, because as we all know in our own worlds, it's about texts and emails and other ways to communicate for the most part. So don't do that, and you'll have a great chance at getting your message out there and perhaps hitting it out of the park.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Did you know your car can be hacked just like your computer or phone? Hackers can hijack the signal of your own key fob to burglarize your vehicle in seconds. The Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag is a signal impenetrable shield that stops these hacks in their tracks. Protect one of your most valuable assets. Go to hackproofbag.com. That's hackproofbag.com and use promo code radio to get 20% off. Or call 805-222-4584. 805-222-4584.